What do you want for her that I'm not giving her?
Randy's wiener.
Ew. Dude, can we talk about, if we're really going to go there, Randy, your dog, was licking my dog's pee-pee, and I don't think that is normal.
No, he's in his pee-pee phase. It is.
Carlos told me that means Randy has a vitamin deficiency.
Oh, like pica. Pica, that's like when people like start eating cement blocks because they have, they're low in iron, or even like pregnant women when they start getting deplete off of, the baby starts to suck all the nutrients, they start to like crave like lint.
I'm just so like sad I wasn't able to, like, you didn't do a behind the scenes of you having the conversation with Carlos where you come to him shaken that my dog molested your dog. We go to the only person we know that really has the inside scoop of dogs.
I was like, yeah, Randy was licking her vagina. Like, is that normal? I was all victimed out. And Carlos was like, it's not normal. He's got something wrong. But you told me, you said it was normal.
Yeah, the articles that we read said that he, like, when they're doing that, they're just, like, getting to know. They're, like, downloading the
I feel like that's all I see dogs do is lick each other's butts. Yeah.
I mean, Randy does get his mouth under the stream. Like, he's like...
He gets donut. Like, he wets her whole pee-pee area, and she's just... It makes me sad.
That is not nice.
Why?
Let her live.
She doesn't like it.
Oh, my God. We're going to play this?
I'm suing you. George, get the papers out.
There are papers, if you guys are wondering. There are papers ready. There's a desk with a little key. George swallowed the key. So if we really needed, he has to shit in like a little kid toilet, and then we go through it with a popsicle stick. But we will get the key back when we need to sign those.
Annie, have you been doing jiu-jits?
Do I have bruises?
You have bruises all over this shoulder.
No, I went and got acupressure from this guy who was vaccinated. My guy, Kung Fu acupressure, I've been waiting, but he fucked me up. Mm. He has like nubs for fingers, and I want to ask him next time. I have to film it because I need the world to know, but I want to ask him if he cut them off on purpose to be able to like push the points.
What?
Yeah, he's got little nub fingers. He's the best.
So you think that it was a voluntary finger amputation?
It's that, or he really knows how to work with what happens in his life, and he leaned in, he got the finger cut off, and he's like, what's something that I could like...
That's something that I considered when I was 18 and wanted to be like the best blowjob queen. I always used to tell people,
who
like,
are these two women I'm doing this show with? That's what I want
to
know.
I used to tell people,
you're a babysitter? Go to bed, bitch. No snack for you, cunt.
I used to tell people that I couldn't wait to have enough money to get my teeth removed so I could just gum a dick.
Oh my God. I so relate to like being... Because it was like, I think that there were two choices in high school. You were either a cock tease or like a slut. And some reason, cock tease was like the biggest insult. I couldn't believe.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, they tricked us into thinking cock tease was bad. Cock tease was good.
It was the best.
That's how you get married.
You cock tease them?
Is that why we're all unmarried?
I can't. Will you tell us when you finally lose your virginity to Dave? And Donut will be there. So don't act like you're not. A sexual unit.
Wait, I have a question. Is acupressure cupping?
It's not. This was all a hand did all these.
So then what is acupressure?
Acupressure is like a very deep, painful massage at different points. But it's this like old Asian man who...
He pushes...
It hurts so bad. I told you about him because he can help with TMJ.
Oh, I want
to
go.
But it's the most painful. Like you have to suffer through like a lot of
pain. I like
to
suffer in a massage.
Same.
Why are you looking at me?
If I'm being completely honest, a vision of you getting a massage, okay, and then you're down, face down, and then they say like, "How's the pressure?" and you say, "Good," and then I switch out with them and I just beat the shit out of your knots.
Honestly, I think I would love that. I know. Do you ever like? Don't you feel like a massage is like really intimate and like almost sexual?
Well, I have a story.
What?
I'm so dumb. Like I guess I didn't realize that there's like girl versions of happy ending salons. Like I just,
what?
Or spas. Like I went to, I had a really bad back. This was like 6 years ago. Really bad back. And it was like midnight. Everything was closed. And there was like, I found this place that was open 24 hours. And it didn't even occur to me. It was like, oh my God, that's like, what a great service to have. And it was like, the massages are $20 an hour. I was like, that's really cheap. That's awesome. No red flags. I go by myself.
What
I drive.
City? What city?
It was in it was in Burbank. It was in fucking Burbank. So I go and
you know what? This show doesn't need both of us. One of us can go.
Can I decide? Each episode, I decide who's invited back.
I'm so happy it's nearby.
So I go and they give me this guy, and I usually like I would go for the guy at places because I know they'll go harder than the girls.
Wait, really? I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt you, but
no,
I have to.
No, please interrupt me with your little hands.
I only ever request email and I won't do mail.
No, it's appropriate. I don't know why I have to relive like full molestations every time I get a fucking massage. You said you like when they go very deep, emotionally deep in my massages as well. This is crazy. But okay, so I go to this place. It's like 1 a.m. I pay my $20. I go in and you know how when they put the sheet on you, they just, when they're working on one part, they just move like one limb out. Like,
yeah.
And the whole sheet was taken off. He massaged my asshole open. Like he was massaging my butt cheeks open. Like wind was going into my vagina. And I don't have a thigh gap or anything. Like wind doesn't get up there often. Like he was spreading them in a way that they'd never been spread. And I was like, oh, for sure pictures are being taken of me. Like he kept leaving the room and coming back. And then, he was like Armenian and he was like so hairy, but he had shaved. So it was weird because it was a bad experience, but also you don't realize that like having that sort of like gravelly, scratchy thing rubbing on you feels good. It was like I was getting like a salt scrub too with his like stubble in his arms. Yeah. So I remember I was like, and he was like kind of young and like not a guy I wouldn't bang. Like it was, I remember I was looking down in the little hole at his shoes and he was wearing like the same type of shoes my boyfriend had. And I was like, I don't think a guy giving a massage at midnight should have the same shoes as
Timberlands?
A guy. Fucking.
Was he in Tim's?
They were like, I think they were Air Force Ones, but they could have been Tim's. They were the sneaker version of Tim's.
I feel like if he was in Tim's, you would have not resisted. You would have been
He wouldn't have had to use any oil. I would have been squirting all over myself. But it was like so uncomfortable. And when he had I went, dude, come on, put the fucking, cover me
you
up a little
said
bit.
That?
Yes. And then I realized like when I left, I was like, I can't even be mad at this guy. Like I walked into a very obvious.
No,
that's
you
not
can
true.
Be mad.
I don't think he was trying to grab my ass for himself. He was trying to give me like, I'm assuming people pay $20 and then they would tip them like $100 to like.
I need exact cross streets.
I will try to find it.
He was doing that for himself. That was not for you. He wanted to see your poo poo area.
I went to this gynecologist in Philadelphia. My mom like found him and referred me to him. And I went and he stuck his finger in my asshole, like up my butt. And I was and right when he stuck his finger in my ass, he went, are you Tim Letterman's sister? And I was like, I swear to God. And they like, and I'm like, yeah. And he goes, oh, I just put it two and two together with your last name. And when you said you were a comedian. And he's like, oh, your brother. He's like, meanwhile, he's just swinging this finger that's been on my ass. He's like, your brother and my son were in the same frat. And I like partied with them. I would go party with them. And I'm like, and then he was like, next time you have a show in town, you need to, I got to come. I was like, you do? I mean, why is your finger in my ass? My whole response is like, why is, and then I talked to my mom and she's like, I think they've done that to me before. And I'm like, I don't know what old school butt fingering is going on.
Another thing, male gynecologist, stay away. I'm not, and I know that maybe is offensive, but I'm not comfortable.
What if we got like hate mail from male guys?
I'm fine with male gynecologists.
What?
Annie, so you went to juvenile delinquent school. Yeah. Is this how you ended up in Mexico at 14?
My high school was very small. It was like, my graduating class had 17 kids in it. Like it was just a tiny little alternative school. So it was half bad kids and half like kids with learning disabilities. So I was a little bit of both. We had spring trips, and one spring trip when I was 14, they took a group of us, like the worst, none of the LD kids went. It was only the like young criminals went on this one. We went to Mexico during Cinco de Mayo to look at the Mayan ruins. But we did that one day, and the rest, like, the teachers were fucked up. Everyone was wasted. I went with my boyfriend and my best friend at the time, this girl, Becky, and we were all, like, under... One guy was over 18, and so with our hotel rooms, we got bands to get free alcohol.
Oh, but, my God. But you're 14.
But we were under... But you have to be 18 to drink in Mexico.
What did that permission slip look...
But you're 14.
I want to know what that permission slip looked like for your parents to sign.
Well, they also signed... I was allowed to smoke cigarettes. They signed the smoking cigarettes thing.
Stop.
Too. Yeah.
Why?
They just...
Your parents allowed you at 14 to smoke cigarettes? Yeah. Why?
I guess they just didn't want me to... I think my mom was afraid I was going to run away. My mom was trying to be like friends. She wanted to be like buds with me. She was like, felt overprotected. So then she was like, do anything. I was like, oh my God, I've been running for my life so many times. I've been hiding under cars, screaming to call the cops.
I feel like there are two ways to parent. That parent and then my parent, who at 14 couldn't stop making me kneel on rock salt as punishment. You know, so it's like, I could do nothing. She could do everything. I feel like you're the healthy in between, maybe.
I think I am. Yeah.
It's sad if we think she was raised healthy. Did everybody watch Esther's special? We are all agreeing that she was the healthiest raised person. And I really need you to watch how fucking tragic that is. Please go to her special, Hot for Her Name, or for my name.
Well, mine was like, go out, do things. And then like, if something seemed dangerous, it was like, no, you're in trouble.
But also, you're not going to do anything dangerous. Yeah, you're like self.
There was one time where I was policed, and was when I wanted to go to a Dropkick Murphys concert. Because my cool friends did in eighth grade, and then I got in trouble. I didn't get to go.
But would have been smashed up in that mosh pit.
So they were
you
right.
You would have just been.
They were right.
Hacky sacked across the fucking.
And I had no idea what I was agreeing to or getting into. So I now see that was they.
When
were.
Did you get the height that you are? Like what?
I don't know.
Because you could have been this. This is a regular kindergartner's size.
I don't know. I was always small.
Were you a preemie or
no?
You give normal. Off such
how tall is
vibes.
Your? How tall is your sister?
5'5".
Oh, she's like a tall
normal,
girl.
Yeah.
That's like a giant.
Yeah, and my mom is short, but my mom is 5'3". She's taller. I'm 5 foot.
Did she take prenatals for her second child?
I don't know, but she does say that she famously only gained like 8 pounds when she was pregnant with me.
Oh, she Victoria Beckham'd it.
Did yeah. she tell you that when you were a freshman in college?
Yes, she
She's
did.
Like, oh my God, you gained more weight than I did when I was pregnant with
That's
you.
Exactly correct.
Okay, so tell yeah. me in Mexico.
Okay, so we go to Mexico and we can't drink. None of they tell the our bar and our hotel, like each like hotel area had its own bar. They were like, none of these kids, don't let any of them drink, even though we had our bands.
They don't give a shit.
Don't let them drink. But they were not letting us drink. So there was this kid, Marty, who was 18, and he just went over to the bar next to us and he would bring us drinks back.
Yeah.
Okay, so background story. Like a month before, I had been hanging out at the guy whose virginity I lost house. Wait, he was my boyfriend at the time.
At the waterbed.
The waterbed guy.
You lost it to him.
I lost my virginity. He was my boyfriend. I was obsessed with him. He was really into my friend. So anyway, so we're at his house and Becky was hooking up with his friend. And we were there and I said she was ticklish or something. I did something that was like to her this like horrible betrayal. And she slapped me across the face and it was really crazy. And everyone was like, did you just slap? And I was like, and then she was like, oh, I'm sorry. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to slap you back when it's appropriate. Like, it's fine. We're all good. But like, your slap's on its way. When you step out of line, you're getting fucking slapped. So that was our deal. So then like a month later, we're in Mexico. And Marty, it's like annoying for Marty to have to keep going over and get drinks. And they're like kind of catching on. So we have to like pace out him getting our drinks. So Marty brings the round of drinks over. And I like turn away for a second and this kid that used to bully me picked it up and drank it and everyone was just laughing behind my back and I like looked over and he had chugged my drink. And I was like, felt like such a, you know, I was like, you know, you fucking asshole. You know, it was just like everyone was laughing at me. So then Marty's like, it's all right, Annie, I'll just go get you another one. Like he's a dick, whatever. So Marty goes over, gets me another one. I turn around, I'm talking, Becky chugs my drink.
That's the girl that slapped
yes.
you?
Yes. Okay. This is my best friend. So okay. Yeah, this is like we're ride or die, like we're supposed to have each other's backs.
Quick question. Why did she slap you? Did she have a good reason?
Because she was mad because I told this guy asked her she was ticklish and I said she was.
That's why she slapped you.
That's something you would be mad at me for.
I wouldn't. I just want to be clear. I've never slapped or been slapped.
Oh my God. Is that a challenge?
Esther, and it shows.
I know. You could have a pigtail tugged out or two.
I wouldn't say those type of things in front of Annie. I feel like she's just foaming at the mouth, waiting to just.
I'm like, oh, I never got to take anyone's virginity. This is a type of virginity.
The lawsuit that I would somehow muster up.
All right, start drinking some diuretics. You're going to have to poop that key out. She's getting ready for it to file the papers.
Okay, keep going. Okay. So she drinks.
So she drinks my drink. Everyone's laughing at me again. And it's just like. The emotions going through my head that I remember are like being humiliated for the second time and the fact that this bitch is selling me out to try to look cool at my expense right now. Like, so I just, whenever I slapped her, right? I just went, now it's your turn, and I slapped her. Okay? But nobody was there except my ex or my boyfriend at the time had seen her slap me before. So she then really victimed it up. And I mean, this was like a shake we did. Like, it was like, you're going to get slapped and it's your turn. She, like, it was like, how dare you? How could you? And I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. And then I'm trying to get Brad to be on my side and he's trying to fuck her. And I'm like, are you guys kidding me? So I was like livid. And then we all ended up getting so fucking drunk that the next day, the one day we actually had a field trip where we went to go see these Mayan ruins, I vomited all over the bus, like all over my ex-boyfriend's, like, I think he had New Balances, like all of his New Balances. And just all over everyone. So I definitely probably had like the most dramatic time, even though everyone else did. And then so I was like in a fight with her. She also, I remember Brad and I were banging on the balcony and she came out there. It was like, why would you come out where we're banging? She just was always a problem and kind of like cock blocking me or like trying to fuck my boyfriend. She was always like banging on my, it was like such a weird.
Did she like your boyfriend?
Every boyfriend I had.
So, and he liked her back.
He had a crush on her. She was dating. She lost her virginity to this other guy. We like lost her virginity at the same time. And then I started dating him. And then he ended up breaking up with me when we got back from Mexico because he said he didn't like how I treated Becky. And I was like, but you know the whole story. So it was like he just, and then they had been hooking up. I didn't know that.
During the Mexico trip?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
She was hooking up with this other guy, Mike, who was my friend Liz's boyfriend, who she fucked with Liz. And Liz died in a very shocking but appropriate way for herself. Like, not a girl you want to fuck with.
So Liz has since expired. She is no longer with us. Oh, wow.
But Liz...
What happened to Liz?
Okay, so Liz wasn't on that trip, but when I came back, I was like, she was supposed to be in a school for juvenile delinquents. Like, she was very much, she really liked watching Heavenly Creatures, that movie about killing your parents.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, she liked to watch, she owned it on VHS.
That's with like, Kate Winslet.
Yeah, where they kill their parents.
Yeah. I liked that movie as a child too.
Well, I didn't get, I was not kneeling on rock salt. My parents just sent me to places where men made me kneel.
I wasn't just kneeling on rock salt, by the way. I was told to keep my arms to my side like this.
But I will tell you this, you do have great arms.
Do you like my sweaty armpits?
my pits are going to sweat so bad. I wore the wrong sweat color.
You guys, I cannot believe the sponsor that we got. I've been a user for the last 2 years. It's the gift I got for everyone in my family for Christmas last year.
Was it Gelt? Jewish Gelt?
No.
You got them just a little Jewish chocolate?
It's Theragun. Like, I'm starstruck that they want to work with us. Are we sure?
We're sure. Theragun is a handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, and power, and it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush.
The Gen 4 Theragun doesn't just feel good, it gets to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. No joke, like, we used to use this on the set of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. People would bring them and we would all Theragun each other. It's like, you can't not have one. And it saves you money because you don't need to go pay for massages.
You guys, it has honestly cut my recovery in half. if I'm doing HIIT training that day and I'm really sore the next day, this is my go-to.
We get it. You work out.
I know. I was just going to say, Esther, have you ever felt the way she's feeling?
Sue me. I'm fit.
I'm just sore from the way I sit on my couch. I really feel like people have heard of Theragun. Like, now is the time to support Bloodbath and support yourself and save money by not having to go get massages and be touched by people. You guys, try Theragun for 30 days, starting at only $199, which is actually saving you money. Go to Theragun.com/bloodbath right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/bloodbath. Theragun.com/bloodbath. It saves you money on not having to go get massages. Like, this is a no-brainer. This is a time. You can Theragun while you listen to Annie verbally Theragun me.
My mom was like, Maria, do you guys know who Maria Abramovic is? She's a performance artist.
Yeah.
She does like really extreme things with like, you know, physical, like she has like her art exhibit involves human bodies. My mom was Maria Abramovic with her torture tactics. The rock salt is like the least creative thing she's ever come up with. She had this thing called stomach belt. You want that stomach belt? She was very creative. She had this other one where she
would use a stomach belt right now to cover this muffin top that's hanging out.
But she would whip you with like a rhino fucking hide whip. Oh. And then she also had this other, she used banana peels as a weapon. And she would take the nub.
Would she put them underneath so you slid on them? That's pretty. Your mom's funny.
Cartoon. She would just. Annie thinks cartoons are real.
I mean, it explains you perfectly.
No, she would whip our faces with a banana peel. She would eat a banana. That's just so all insulting. Rageful.
All to be rageful. Slapped with a banana peel?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody would just slap you with their wet trash.
That's exactly what she did. She would eat a banana and she would be just.
And you knew it was coming?
Like rageful. And we were across the fucking table from her. No. We were like, oh God, it's coming, it's coming. She would just get up and fucking whip our faces with banana.
Also, her mom's really hot. So this.
By the way, when I ask her now. Hot chick. When I ask her now, because that's why I always, you know, when kids tell their stories, they're like, oh, my parents used to beat me. And then you see their mom and the mom's like, you know, middle age or 60 years old. And she looks like just the sweetest old lady. That is not my mom. My mom is a fucking Asian Arnold Schwarzenegger. I got beaten by a bodybuilder. Like, I remember having to spend 2 hours one time trying to like pluck my braces wire off of like my lips because it was lodged in there from her just like fucking punching me in the mouth.
What?
Oh, she had very full lips for a week. Again, you guys, we like to take our trauma and we like to really
see the positive. Spin.
She learned to. She has very tough knees now.
I do. Very, very. Someone once said I had really like meaty knees. I'm like, that's all scar tissue from fucking kneeling, you bitch.
You're like, feel it. There's rock salt inside.
I
can we try all the things that your mom did on you and Esther?
We should.
There is something really funny to me, like memory sense, memory-wise, about like the moment where you know you just fucked up and like you know you're about to get in trouble from like your older sibling or your parent. Like they're like the moment of them eating, like you're saying she ate the banana and you're just like
that waiting.
You know they're about to come over and yell at you or something is so funny.
It's inevitable. That's why I am adult. That you know, like I do this a lot. Like I wince too. A lot. At anything, like the air. I'm like, oh, what's that?
I do that too, and no one even beat me.
Beated you?
I can't even say it. But I'm always like, nah.
But maybe that's how you got away from it, because that you gave them the jerk reaction already, and they were like, that's good enough. You showed fear.
That's what you're supposed to do. So my sister was really smart. She was like, why don't you just cry right away? She's like, you're so stupid.
Where you're like, come on, bitch, give me more.
Yeah, that's exactly the type of kid that I was. I was like, you don't get to break me down.
I remember the exact day, because my parents weren't, like, I remember my parents, like, gripping me up a couple of times. But I mean, that was, like, really after a lot. But my dad was, like, hit when he was little, so he never does it. My mom, like, she never did anything, like, she's, like, gripped our leg, or, like, smacked my leg once hard, and she feels so guilty, and you put on the waterworks and just like really dig in and make her feel bad. And she choked me up once when I was 14. But it was like the day I was like, I smoke cigarettes, I fuck, and I have my nipples pierced. And she was like, ah! She was like, Jesus. Jesus Christ. I just gave her everything.
So you were never spanked?
No, I remember when I was like much younger, like I have a couple memories of like the someone going and getting the yardstick and like threatening with the yardstick
to make you do math.
But nothing, I don't remember anything of
it. But this is like this is a perfect science experiment. It's like verbal abuse, physical abuse, no abuse, but we're all still mentally
fucked up. Yeah.
So it's like they're
so funny and cute.
There's
like,
no,
like, how did that happen? We got so cute and funny.
But like, you know, when you were talking about being at JCPenney, that makes me think of college, when like being in the dressing room at Banana Republic with my mom and her just being like, and I'm like, nothing looks good. And she's like, well, why'd you have to gain so much weight? Like, that's abuse. I like that
you're like, speaking of being beaten with banana peels, I was at Banana Republic once.
Or like in eighth grade changing and my mom being like, oh my God, you have stretch marks? That's so young. Well, you have stretch marks. Like,
oh, you did?
Yeah.
I did too. No, I'm just kidding. Having like... your parents kind of put their body stuff on you, because my parents were big dieters and stuff. So I definitely got all of my like negative eating things from my parents. But that's bad. Yeah, that's like a weird pressure, competition. Same. Like, it's about your looks.
You know, they always say like your what your parents say to you become your internal dialogue.
So I'm a selfish cunt.
But that's...
I'm an untalented... No, I'm just untalented.
Maybe they're just helping you.
I deserve to die. I should be executed.
I know.
I do have, like, I've realized this. I discovered this in therapy last year, like when we were talking about putting on a swimsuit. And I was like, I can't, no matter what, like, I can't put on a swimsuit. I do still to this day. I swim in a t-shirt and shorts. I don't know why I'm like this. Like, I was saying, like, I feel comfortable in a bra and underwear. Like, I cannot wear a swimsuit. And I was like, you know, there was this one incident, but it
is it an yeast infection?
No.
Beastie yeasty?
I was like, well, yeah, there was this one time, like, but it didn't bother me, where I was in middle school and I was at the local pool, and I took off my swim covers and I heard like the older girls say to each other, like, oh my God, I didn't know she was fat. And I'm like, and at the time I remember being really confident about it. I was like, oh, fuck you. Like, I don't care, whatever. But now I'm like, oh, I think that my therapist was like, I think that's why.
And the best part is that they were probably talking about a person next to you, and you just, your whole life has been ruined by it.
I think they were talking about me. But
how can you be so short and fat though? I don't understand. You're so little.
I'm like you soft.
Yeah, but it was like just like mean girl calling.
It was mean girl. They were mean girls.
Here, how about this? Maybe we can work towards the goal of getting you in a really nice, high cut, flattering swimsuit. I'll wear one with you. My bush is gonna fly out of there. Annie will wear one. We can have like a very healthy episode of us in one piece, not two piece, just, you know, just to kind of sit with the discomfort.
I don't fuck with
the
one piece. I don't care what's going on with my body. I'm in a bikini.
Are you serious? How do you have that confidence? No offense.
It's just like, here's what, every time I feel fat, I just remind myself I'm fertile as fuck.
That's cool.
I'm just like, sorry, I'm fertile. You all want to bang me. Anyone that's calling me fat is trying to have sex with me.
Yeah.
Yes. But what do you think about those goals, Esther? Is that a weird...
I would love to do that, but all I can think about is like my thighs on this chair.
But they say, you know, exposure therapy. Have you ever heard of that? Where it's just you do the things that make you uncomfortable, and then you see if you can get through it. And that tiny bit of confidence, you'd be like, oh, I got through it.
Yeah, I'm open to that.
I don't want like board short Esther to go away though. Board short at a pool party, Esther is golden. She's like wearing Umbros and obviously one of her tie-dyed shirts. She's dressed like exactly like... me when everybody thought I looked like the middle Hansen brother in middle school.
I threw on my puka shell necklace.
Wait a second. Taylor?
Yeah, I look like the middle one.
No, I think you look like Daniel Johns from Silverchair.
Yeah,
Silverchair.
Well, in middle school, yeah, all of when I was at my most vulnerable, physically vulnerable, emotional place in middle school, I looked like every famous boy.
Every famous hot blonde boy.
But they were the hot blonde boys that my brothers accidentally jerked off to thinking they were girls. So I can give myself that.
What was the guy from Home Improvement?
Oh,
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah. I honestly, Carly Acuilo, do you guys know her?
From yeah. Robot?
Yeah, she used to always send me like memes of him and be like, this is you. JTT.
Wait, George, can we pull up a picture of middle school Esther and Annie? No.
Oh, I have a really good middle school one I didn't send you guys.
Oh, look at that little cute.
You look like your mom.
Look at the shirt that says, I lie to girls.
That's very honest of you.
I thought I was like a, I dressed like a horny boy.
Wait, was this like a Kappa shirt? Is that what the brand was?
Yeah.
I think it is, yeah. It was Christina, my best friend's twin brother's shirt.
And how old were you here?
That's probably like seventh grade.
Okay, I was right. So it is middle school.
Yeah.
Okay, I remember which middle school picture you have of me, which is like, there's a year before. So post this one and then I'll send you.
So I just realized, I think that one was actually freshman year of college or high school.
I knew this was going to happen. It's too real.
I think this is, I don't know, eighth grade or freshman year. I think I had the blonde highlights.
Look at you trying to pretend to be a Christian.
My dad made us do that.
I don't know if this goes without saying, but I do think I need to let you guys know that I was really obsessed with the Lifetime movie about Amy Fisher. I don't know if you can tell by this.
Who's that?
Amy Fisher, she shot the wife of the guy she was having an affair with back in the day. She was like a, you know, like a Jodi Arias back then. And she was like my queen. I used to draw pictures of her. I loved her. It was like her and Paula Abdul were my idols.
I feel like this picture is very true to the times.
Yeah.
Like with the necklace, the eyebrows.
Is it green eyeshadow even?
It's white. But that's also a picture from my a Quaker youth retreat I was on.
More importantly, who were the bald ghosts in the background?
Those are some Quakers.
My picture, I look so ugly, and you look like a pretty girl.
Well, I'm going to try to find my ugly boy one. I had had sex with my one boyfriend. I had lost my virginity on the...
What age did you lose your virginity?
14. This was the age I lost my virginity. And then I remember I started to get insecure because on this trip, it was the first time someone told me that I looked like Brett Butler. And it was when Grace Under Fire was on, and I was so offended because she was probably 35 at that point, but to me, she was like a 90-year-old woman that they were saying I looked like.
Wait, can we also like rebrand the term losing your virginity? Like there's something so creepy, old school.
Like something to be taken.
It's so disgusting. What can we call that that's not so creepy and misogynistic?
Well, I like to say cherry popping's fun.
I can't use my mom's term because that's even worse. Deflowering.
Ew, that's the worst.
Yeah, deflowering, it's like, so it's not a flower anymore?
Yeah, it's like, what is it? A rotten fucking fruit? Yeah, is it durian?
It's a durian. That's why I like it.
Kalila, when did you have sex for the first time?
At 15 with a boy named Jaime.
You gave your hymen to Jaime? That is really amazing.
Was he one of your stepbrothers?
He was not my... this was a couple years before sex with my stepbrother.
Does it even count if it's not a brother?
I don't know. You guys make the rules. Was it real sex with Jaime? But I was so unready, and I knew it because as soon as we were done, I wanted to break up with him right away, and I did. I was like, oh, I can't do this anymore. My body rejected the experience. But leading up to it, I was so horny. That's all I wanted to do. But then when it was done, I was like, oh, God.
Had you like sucked dicks and stuff before you lost your virginity? Because I was like very scared of penises and like very not ready to fuck, but was like, I got to keep this sweet guy. I can't.
Yeah, I did.
I thought I was like a late bloomer. Everyone else that I was friends with, because we were juvenile delinquents, had been like banging since before their period.
Yeah.
So I was like, I better hit it quick.
What about you, Esther?
I mean, I was 15 too, so that's young. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, 15. But with a boyfriend.
But that you liked.
Yeah, I liked it. He was the guy that, like, I had a crush on for a year.
Johnny Rocket's boy.
It was Johnny Rocket's boy.
No wonder. No wonder.
What?
Maybe you call it getting Johnny Rocketed.
Because we were talking about your biggest heartaches in the first episode, and you had mentioned Johnny Rocket's betrayal.
That is like my high school boyfriend that broke my heart.
And yeah,
I drive by his house. Yeah.
You still drive by his house?
She's living.
You don't know this? I don't, but I also have stories to share about that.
Oh, do you want to do a drive-by stories? Because I have got a very good drive-by story too.
What?
In college, I got caught driving by. I dated this guy
You know, that's my dream, is to get caught.
It's just, this was very bad. Okay, so it was not my dream to get caught. My dream was to get taken back by this person that didn't even, it was, okay, so I dated this guy. There was this guy, and I had a crush on him for like 2 years. He was bald. He was a prematurely bald kid in my class, but he was so funny that I was like, I'm going to get that bald guy. Like, he's going to be my boyfriend. And he had a girlfriend the first year. And then I remember I even saw him. My mom was like visiting and we were at Red Lobster and I saw him with his girlfriend. And I was like, I have a crush on that guy. And the next semester I called my mom and I was like, guess who's sitting in front of me? Like, bald guy. And I was like, well, I guess we should call him Balder because Moore is gone. And she was like, oh my God. And then, so then I started hanging out with him and we like started dating and he was so funny and I was so in love with him. And he was like, you have to come to Tennessee and meet my family.
Wait, what age?
I was 19.
Okay.
He was like, you have to come to Tennessee to meet my family. Like, everyone in my family was like, this, finally you have like a good boyfriend who like gets how cool you are and great. I go home for Christmas and I'm supposed to fly out for New Year's to meet his family. He stops returning my calls after he drops me off at the airport. No response on email or anything. Then calls me on Christmas Eve and is like, yeah, just cancel
why?
Your trip. He was like, my parents are getting divorced. And it's just like the thing that I've done this to so many guys since. So, you know, I now understand the other side, but you know, when you're really into someone in the beginning and you make a lot of like future plans. And then you wake up one morning and you're like, I don't want this life. Like, yeah. You just aren't into it. And you just have to now like go back on these promises that you made. It was just like that. And
that is my worst fear.
I mean, the fact that it hasn't happened to you. I mean, I wish I could make it happen to you. I wish there was a way I could find a way to just have Dave just wake up one morning. No, I wouldn't. Can you imagine?
I mean, let's not even joke about that scenario. What's the drive?
Okay, so then I just want to give you like the intense background. So then he like lived in this house with a couple other people that was up. This was all in Santa Fe. So people like live on a mountain in an arroyo. Like, it's like a weird, you know, it's like desert land and mountain. So he lived on this street that was like up this hill and you had to go past this really nice, hotel that my friend Trevor worked at. So there's no reason for me to be driving that direction unless I'm going to Trevor's or Ryan's house. So I drive by it all the time. I'm so heartbroken that like this was like, I thought we were going to like get married. I mean, I was young.
It's an Olivia Rodrigo song.
Yeah, it's 100% right? That song. And I'm like, I just can't believe it. And one time I even went over and they moved out and they were doing renovations on the house. So it was unlocked. So I was able to go into the house and walk into the room.
That's an Alanis Morissette song.
That's also a crime.
It was a full dream. Well, lock your door. don't dump me on Christmas. Stay with me. But so then I'm driving. One of the times I'm going to drive by, and I was doing it pretty frequently, like very cocky, like nobody had caught me. And when they were living there, I was doing it too. And it was hard because it was up a like pretty much a dead end. Like, you could drive by it, but it was a very like very rarely used driveway like street. So I had gotten away with it so many times, I got very cocky. And I was driving one day and Trevor was outside smoking a cigarette on a break. And he was like, Annie, and he like pulls me over and goes, are you driving by Ryan? Like, he just, there was no other thing I could be doing. And he just called it out immediately. And I was like, I gotta go. My window's broken. I gotta get out of here. And I like drove off a cliff. I Thelma and Louise'd myself. It was just so fucking embarrassing.
Did you ever talk after that?
To Trevor. Yeah. I still
talk
to all of
them. Trevor's the guy who broke up with you.
No, Trevor was his friend that worked at the thing. No, I went to his wedding. I went to Ryan's wedding. He ended up marrying a girl I was friends with. I moved her out to LA to live with him. But I do think that she really liked the fact that he had broken my heart, and that's why she wanted me at the wedding.
Oh my God.
Like, I brought the clout. I mean, not that they don't love each other and have kids and stuff, but she loved that, like, I was like this cute little girl.
You were a stepping stone.
Yeah.
Do you know what's a joke? Is if any of the three of us think that we don't need so much of BetterHelp.
We need triple the amount of BetterHelp. We need to be seeing three different therapists for every single problem.
I was a psychology major just because we would do role playing and I would get extra therapy in class.
It is so convenient. You don't have to leave your house. It's, again, safe and private, and you can start communicating in under 48 hours. So that means right now from this point, you will be talking to someone within 2 days.
When you're triggered by something that we've talked about on this podcast, can immediately get help. This is an app. You can find someone right away. You don't have to wait. You don't have to suffer alone. There is someone that will listen to your problems and talk it out with you and find your patterns and tell you that maybe you should stop being friends with some of your friends.
My favorite feature of BetterHelp is you can write your counselor at any time. There's a journal feature. So all throughout the week, even before your next appointment, you can just write down your thoughts that your therapist now has access to. So going into your appointment, you're not starting from scratch. She's going to be like, okay, these things have happened throughout the week. Let's talk about it.
That's so helpful.
It is.
And just to be clear, it's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is actually professional counseling that is done securely online. And like Kalila said, you can send a message to your counselor anytime and you'll get thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions.
The best part is that it is very affordable and financial aid is available.
And honestly, like BetterHelp is that thing that I've heard about for a while. And I say, take it from these three old rotten sperms, Esther, Annie, and Kalila. Now is the time to use it. We all use BetterHelp and we are so much better off for it. I don't think we would get through this show without using BetterHelp. Annie, I want you to start living a happier life today. And as a listener of Bloodbath, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at BetterHelp.com/Bloodbath.
Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Bloodbath.
Give your partner a break. They don't want to hear your problems anymore. Go to professional, okay? It's on your phone. It's that easy.
Esther, what about you? Because it didn't just happen one time. You still frequent and you still drive by.
Yeah, they have like a Johnny ring Rockets camera boy. Because of you.
Here's the thing. I drive by his house. You know, my best friend knows how to drive by. You know, I was home in December and my mom and I were running errands and I was like, oh, we're right by, you know, let's
drive. So we're in 2020.
Yeah. Okay. So I drive by. I'm curious. It's a curiosity. It's also a memory lane situation. You know, I'm not just revisiting that love. I'm revisiting my past.
That time in your life.
Yeah. Like, you know, and he represents that time. He also is the only ex I have that I don't speak to, that I, you know, that has blocked me on all.
Yeah, so you don't speak to him or does he not speak to you?
He's completely blocked me.
It's so funny to block you.
He's blocked my phone number, blocked me on Facebook.
How long ago?
A long time ago. Because I remember the night where, like, I crossed the line and it was, like, right when I moved to LA. And I remember I was bored in my acting class and I just started texting him, like, mean stuff. And
like what?
Like what?
It's like I was just like, oh, your new girlfriend is just like me, but fatter.
I like how you knocked yourself a little bit fatter. You're like, you didn't want to be unrealistic about it.
Obviously, I don't stand by that. I was stupid. I was 21 years old. I was a jerk and I was a jealous idiot. She seems lovely. I'm happy for them. I would love to connect. I would love to have a positive conversation.
Run, never unblock. By the way, I love you in acting class texting.
I know.
You're like sexting and texting in class.
And you know, I know his parents probably hate me. Everyone hates me, whatever. But yeah, and then the bad thing that I did that I should not have done is I'm still friends with one of my friends. My friend Bobby is not Bobby Lee, Bobby Kaczorski. Hey, Bobby. Which Bobby was like the cute guy in our school and all my friends had sex with Bobby, but Bobby and I never had we were just always friends. And so Bobby one night tells me when I was home in Chicago, whatever, like 5 years ago, he's like, oh, actually, it's so funny you're in town. It's their wedding party is tonight here in Chicago because they, I guess, had got married in Miami. I'm not going to say,
Who got married? Johnny Rockets boy?
Yeah.
He married the French girl?
Not the French girl. Next girl.
Okay. The French fry girl?
The fat French girl.
She's actually Cuban, which I'm very jealous of because I've always wanted to have half Cuban babies because my best friend is Cuban. Anyway, is that racist? I don't know. So, I'm jealous of a lot of things. So anyways, So Bobby is like, oh, they're having their like in-town wedding for all the people that couldn't make it to Florida. And I was like, really? Like, oh my God, I'm coming. And I guess Bobby thought I was joking, but then I called Bobby and I'm like, me and Christina are outside. And he comes out and he's like, what are you doing here? And I was like, I'm just like outside, like I'm not going in.
Did you think he was gonna like tie sheets together and help you climb up?
I just thought, I was so stupid that I thought it was funny. I was like, this is funny. Like, I'm here. I'm outside. Like, come outside. I'm going to look like, and Bobby was just like, this is crazy. You're crazy. And we were all laughing. It was funny. Okay. Yeah. I got the laughs, but I get that I should not have even been near the building.
Isn't it weird when you get Esther. These moments as a grown up where you realize like you just like the story that you have of that person is just like, done. Like, you're like trying to go back. I've like revisited so many ex-boyfriends and it's the same thing where they're like, can you leave my life? Like, I've come back and been like, I'm ready to fuck you again. And they're like, what? Can you go away, weirdo?
There is some type. I think they...
Like, you haven't been waiting for us to make our appearance again?
There, I read this one thing about like, that's one of the hallmark signs of... I don't know what it was. I don't think it was narcissism, but it was like some type of like personality disorder where you feel the need to make good or to be friends with all of your exes.
Yeah.
That is a red flag. So
really?
It's okay to never speak to somebody you had a falling out with. And I kind
Esther,
of...
Esther, do you mind never calling me again?
No, but Esther, funny that you say that he's like the only guy who's like completely like an ex of yours is completely cut out. I'm gonna make a plea to Bradley Vanderkam to please forgive me for all the things that I did. He has blocked me off of everything. Our love affair happened when I was 17 and he has not relented.
Well, he probably died of old age. Wasn't he like 70?
Why was
if you were underage, he was probably overage.
All the bloodbath babes have to have an ex that's blocked them. That's a requirement.
George, what a time to bring up what Annie calls my prison yard picture.
I know. I'm like, you have to be waiting outside of prison. There can't be another place you're at. By the way, I'm dressed like you in that picture now.
I was wearing Skechers slides, by the way, with a thick heel on it. I'm so glad the feet part got cut out of that picture.
Wow.
But that was not me in college, George. I hadn't met Bradley Vanderkam then. But he was the first guy that I dicked over. I had never cheated on him, but he's the only boy I've ever cheated on. But I dicked him over and I was so sure that he was going to have me back and he didn't. And not only did he cut me off, like, even today in our 30s, like I don't even have the option to add him as a friend on Facebook.
Doesn't that bother you?
It does, because I want to say sorry.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm sure he doesn't even think of me. I'm sure he doesn't even know what the fuck my name is. Like, I'm sure he's forgotten all of these things, but I'm hanging on to the fact that like I dicked someone over so hard.
I don't have like a boy dicking over story I feel bad about, but there is this one girl from my Quaker youth retreats. This is like the meanest shit I've ever done. Like, I really felt what I had done to her. And I'm always looking to find her because I owe her a pair of shoes. All right. So I was in Quaker meeting is like a church there's no pastor or anything. You just sit in silence. And if you feel moved to speak, you stand up. So we're in a silent room sitting on these benches for like, I don't know how long, it was an hour. And I'm sitting there and I'm trying to impress my friend Burley, this guy I was friends with. And I had like a thumbtack. I used to just chew on thumbtacks and as a juvenile.
What?
I just thought it like made me
like the pin?
Yeah, I would just play with them. I wanted my tongue pierced, so I would just like fuck around with them. I always was like, I don't know. It was just some dumb thing me and my friends did. We also had, there was this place, Condom Kingdom, on South Street in Philly, and they had flavored condoms and we would like bring them to school and
that I did.
Chew on them and stuff, yeah. And then
blow them up for parties.
Yeah, blow them up for parties.
Those were the balloons.
Yeah. But so.
Didn't you guys have toys and like TV?
To put up in you? Every Happy Meal thing went right up Esther's butt, I bet.
You never watched Nickelodeon after school or TRL?
I was too busy sucking dick, to be honest.
Oh my God. Yep.
If you ask anybody in high school, that was my reputation. Just it went a little bit overboard because I feel like I really only truly sucked maximum three penises in high school, but three
penises. They called her tiny reflex lady. No gag, I'm trying to make a TRL thing.
But you know, three might as well be 90 when you're in high
school. Oh my God.
Right? Yeah. Because that's how they see it. They're like, oh,
You've sucked one dick, you're a whore.
You're a whore. Yeah. And so that's what I was labeled. I was a face queen.
Well, I had a kid that
face queen.
That's what they used to call us. Face queen, chicken head.
What does that mean?
That you suck a lot of dick. And even though like it was really only three.
Circus seal. Yeah. But there was a kid that I hooked up with. He came into my school. This guy, he was cute. He was short. He was cute. But I was like still so into my first boyfriend who was fully dating Becky at that point. But so this kid came to my school and he tried to hang out with me and wanted me to suck his dick. And I just didn't want to hook up. I just wasn't into him. I didn't want to hook up with him. So then he did tell everyone. He went around and was like, this bitch doesn't suck dick. Like he like spread the rumor that I was the opposite, which then got my friend Shane's dick sucked because then I was like, I have to suck one of your dicks to prove this. But anyway, that kid that spread that rumor was motorcycle racing when he was 18. He crashed, didn't die, stood up triumphantly after the crash, then was hit by a car and did die. So if you want to spread a rumor about me, go for it. You will die young.
Oh my gosh.
That is so sad.
That he said that about me?
Annie.
He would be in prison. He went to jail before that because he went, and someone told me this like through the grapevine because I don't really talk to anyone from my high school, only a couple people, but someone had told me through the grapevine, they're like, oh, did you know that Drew is in prison? He must not have been 18. He must have been in his early 20s. He goes, Drew went to prison because he went to my ex-boyfriend's house where he still lived in the basement with the waterbed and shot up his room.
Oh,
and I was
shit.
Like, oh my God, is he? And then he was like, no, Brad's fine. I was like, no, did he get the waterbed? And I was like, I hope he didn't pop the waterbed.
Did he?
He didn't.
What's the point of shooting up a room if you're not gonna shoot the waterbed?
I know. Sick is that scene of just squirting water?
That's a very 80s, like very, yeah. very like, you know, Miami 80s, yeah, mafia movie. Just shooting up the fucking waterbed.
Yeah, that would be a great.
By the way, cinematic. Don't lose your virginity on a waterbed. You have to deal with like seasick. Everything's like, there's so many added things.
Wait, is a waterbed still, do people still have those?
I don't think so.
That sounds so much fun.
I remember.
Should we get one for the studio?
We should. You guys, there was in this one island that we would frequent in the Philippines called Dumaguete, there was this one hotel called The Habitat. And if you paid extra money for the best room in their hotel, it was a waterbed. And I remember like my dad, my mom, my cousins, all of us would just like
squish
on the waterbed.
And you roll over, someone flies up.
We felt so rich. We felt that's the richest I ever felt in my life.
It was like a pricey bed. You know, it's probably the equivalent to having like a really nice like Tempur-Pedic now.
Do you think Jeff Bezos has a waterbed?
I bet he does.
He has like a factory where they make waterbeds at least. But he spread a rumor about me when I lost my virginity. He told everyone that I fucked like a dead fish. And I remember taking like, I was like a dead, I mean, technically I was swimming on the thing.
Oh, you fucked like a dead, you didn't fuck a dead fish.
He said I fucked like a dead fish. I'm like, I'm sorry, I was 14, losing my virginity on your fucking waterbed, swimming, flailing around.
Also, there's a guy out there that will like that one day, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But he's already engaged to Esther.
I have necrophilia, but I like being a dead person.
It's just, that's when she says that her neck hurts a lot.
You know, I have a friend who does which she calls like quad play, like quadriplegia play, where she pretends to be completely like, incapable of like doing anything for herself. So that's one of the sex things that she does. So she makes her husband do sexual things while she's like, I can't move this, and then do
but
this.
She has to pretend feel it too. She has to pretend she can't feel it.
Yeah, she was like, oh, I don't have nerves there, can you move to the right side? But she does it, and then she starts to like drool, and so he has like wipe her mouth
with
and stuff.
Penis?
But it's quadriplegic play.
Oh my god, I want to do that for like chores, like
yeah. I'm role playing that you're the maid and I'm here sick.
That is so intense. Oh my God. I'm like, I'm very lit up by that. I feel an energy.
Because you know you're going to have to put less energy in later.
Esther, I have a question. When you would drive in 2020, when you drove past Johnny Rocket Boy's house, did he still live there?
No, it's his parents' house. But
what are their thoughts on it?
I don't know, his parents, I'm sure they don't like me.
Well, they've built a gated community around their house.
But nobody's ever seen me. I've never seen anyone outside. That's kind of the dream. It's, you know what it is? I'm gathering information. I'm spying.
You know what that, there's a book called The Dutch House. There's a book called The Dutch House that I recently read. Not a Dutch oven,
which I'm sure you're involved in a lot.
But it's basically that. It's like brother, sister who had like this really, they couldn't figure out what memories they really had in that house. So they go back every year and they park outside that house and they process their lives just outside this house because that's where a lot of heartache and confusion happened.
That's amazing.
Is that like Flowers in the Attic?
Is that what Flowers in the Attic is?
Flowers in the Attic was the kids had to bang each other up in the attic.
Ew.
Oh my God.
The siblings, yeah.
Have you guys ever?
Don't say ew. That's her actual life.
It's my biopic.
She just didn't have an addict.
But
attic.
My biopic.
But yes, like I'm revisiting my past. If I were to connect with him, that's all I want to do is just like, oh, let's relive our childhood. Like we were children.
He's like, do you know how much therapy I've gone through to forget you exist, bitch?
Anyways.
No, I have that too where it's like, but it's mine is creepy. A little bit later.
I'm not in love with him, okay? I just, even though some would say Dave looks like him, I just want to live my past over again like every other normal healthy adult, right? Don't you guys want that?
Yes.
But that's the thing, my childhood and my high school years, that is like happiness to me. That's because I think there was a question we were talking about, like what's a memory you want to like cement and relive.
Yes,
that's it for me, like childhood and high school. Once I hit college, everything got shady.
That's what I wanted to ask you guys. So last week you said you were raised by slugs, right?
So that is so funny, and it really does track.
And then I came across this article about, it's called mollusk manipulation, where scientists are able to take snails and they're able to extract, delete, or replace memories. And I wanted to ask you guys, because they're studying it to see if maybe one day they can do that with humans with PTSD, anxiety, depression, or just really bad like trauma in the past. It's kind of like a eternal sunshine, yeah, for the spotless mind. Mm. My question to you guys is, if that was one day possible, what memories would you permanently delete? What memories would you reinforce so it's clear as day in the forefront of your minds? And what random thing that never really happened in your real life would you place in there?
I have trouble with these sort of questions because I do really, I've put all my eggs in the basket of it's okay, these terrible things happened because they've led me here. Mm-hmm. And I am really at a place in my life where I fucking love my life. I totally feel like in line with who I am and happy with what I do and able to kind of get through my life happily and navigate it. But I mean, it really was hard. It took a long time to get here. So I'm like, I don't know if I would have ended up here, you know, because I always think
here in Bobby Lee's garage,
here in the garage of a great man and his girlfriend.
Ish. We don't know.
I would want to reinforce my childhood because I feel like elementary school, I was so confident. And I was just, and like the memories are good and positive. I feel like I would really want to reinforce that. And sometimes, do you ever do this where you like try to honor your younger self or like try to revisit who you used to be? Like, I'll always think like, gosh, you know, if I feel insecure about this, like, let me get in touch with like childhood Esther, who was super confident. Mm-hmm. And like, let me honor and respect her by trying to like be inspired by her confidence.
But mine is the opposite, because I do like some really fucking cheesy journaling where I'll write to my like inner child and stuff. But mine is because any sort of like hiccup or triggering I have as a grown up is like because of something that was hard when I was little. So I have to go back, and instead of like learning lessons from this kid, I have to tell this kid that I like got her back, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's weird. I'll have like my inner child will write back to me. It's so fucking weird. It's like a kid is writing to me. It's very strange.
I like that.
But I have to like go help her rather than, you know, like in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind when they're like, she's, you know, they like want to go back in time to like, she wants to help him when he had his like most traumatic experience. That was what's like really sweet.
No, so I want to ask you guys nothing you would permanently delete.
Like, I mean, I guess if I deleted my like crazy traumatic high school getting like
just
assaulted
by
my teacher.
It doesn't
thing,
have to be a whole period. It just has to be one thing that you can do without.
Maybe if I hadn't gotten I got in a car accident when I was 12 on my way to to join like the swim team that was going to train me for the Junior Olympics. Yeah. So that to me is like a very crazy thing. Cause that's when I started smoking cigarettes and like fucking being bad. I just like leaned out of the good. So that would be a pivotal moment. I don't know where my life would be though. I don't know if it would lead me here.
Yeah. I'm not afraid of alternate, alternate routes in my life. I think
that's cool.
Like, I'm not like so hung up on the fact, like, look, I'm so happy where I ended up. I would have been happy. It would have been okay no matter where it went and what direction it went, with who it went with.
Yeah.
And there are some things that in my life that I could definitely do without. There's so many memories that I could just pluck and say, that didn't need to happen for me to be, you know, who I am today.
Mm-hmm. Will you tell us what?
Yeah, like, for instance, like being hurt by an older family member at 8 years old. I could do that. I could do without that because there was nothing I could have done at that age, except it gave me. I think that's when like my panic attacks of sweating started. I could do without that. Yeah. So that would permanently delete that.
Yeah, I want to permanently delete my hyperhidrosis.
Yeah, I'd imagine. I mean,
it was true. It was it. And Esther doesn't have sweaty armpits, so this is which is very surprising.
Dry pitted goddess.
But it was traumatizing because how old were you when your armpits started sweating?
I think second grade.
Yeah, mine were fourth grade, I remember. And it was like, I would pit out and everyone made fun of me. It was like a huge source of embarrassment. And now I'm rocking it.
Yeah, this is with Botox.
I had a friend, I met this, one of my high school friends, and she also had, we were doing like this art program over the summer, and she also had sweaty armpits.
Yeah.
So we rode the train in together, and every day we would just pretend we got in a water fight and just spray each other down to make it look like it wasn't just our armpits.
The third part of that question, what would you add? What random great memory would you just randomly insert into your memory bank?
I would insert like winning sports things. I would insert like finishing things and winning things, like getting good grade, like things that were like positive reinforcement, because then I think I would have more follow through in my life now. Cause I think I was kind of like, I never really finished things because I didn't have the wherewithal to know that you have to wait to get the feeling of reward.
Yeah. I have this thought that I feel like wouldn't necessarily change the trajectory of my life. I just want a memory of me showering a really grimy and dirty Benicio del Toro. Just one shower. Just one. There's no context from like to the
excess,
memory.
From like excess baggage aid era?
No, like, was he in 21 grams?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just grimy and fat. Benicio del Toro. And I just want that random memory because that way I'll never want for anything again. I just randomly be like, yeah, we did that, didn't we? I showered. I got to soap down Benicio.
I saw him on a plane once. It was the first time I've ever flown first class. And I walked in and to my right or to my left was Benicio del Toro. And everyone like, that was walking in, or I guess I wasn't in first class because I was walking through first class. So everyone in front of me, I would see them like go like, oh my God. And they get all excited because they'd see Benicio del Toro. And then I'd see them go two rows up in first class, look to the right, and they go like, ugh, kept walking. And so then I get two rows down and it's Clay Aiken. And I was like, wow, the range of fame to be in my face. Like people were so excited and so pissed. And you know, I think that was when he was like coming out against gay marriage or something. He was like,
wait, I thought he was gay.
Yeah, no, but he was doing something that was like making the gay community really mad at him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He was like Republican, or I don't know if he actually was anti-gay. It was just something where it was around the time when gay marriage was starting to actually become legalized. Huh. But people were really mad at him at that point. But it was just so funny. I was like, to be right in my fucking face to see the different sides of...
I'm starting my banana breaks.
Go ahead. I'll tell you how close I got to Benicio del Toro as I eat a banana.
Strawberries? George.
I want
strawberry banana break.
George. Give her a strawberry on her stomach. Give her a little.
George, that is so nice of you. Are they organic?
Oh my God.
They are.
What if you threw them on the ground?
George loves me.
They're from Ralph's. You just trash them.
George loves me. Wait, I'm so excited. I was going to eat my gummies, but.
Can you stop being excited? It's hard for me to get my food done when you're happy.
One year, Bobby and I went to go Christmas tree shopping. And I don't know why the guy needed to insert this information, But he was like, oh yeah, Benicio del Toro just shopped for a Christmas tree yesterday. And I have gone to the same Christmas tree lot every year. I will not stray from that one.
You go at Halloween?
Every day. Every day. Thanksgiving to like the day after Christmas. But that's how obsessed I was with him for a very long time.
I feel like I could maybe benefit from like some happy memories with extended family. You know, like that was always a really hard area for me. So just because my dad had me so late in life, and he always talks about like how there were so many relatives that would gather at the house, you know, where I grew up. And so that always kind of fucks with me, like thinking about all this like family that I could have had but was too late for. I always feel like I missed out, late to the party, mm-hmm. never met my grandparents, like, and so I feel like I have this hole in me, like this deep hole in me that it would probably be good for me if I didn't have it, because like, it does fuck with me.
Yeah.
And like another thing too, I can't remember, I've talked about this, but like my dad, when his mom died, he was like, oh, well, I'm never having children. So he gave all her stuff away. He gave all her jewelry, like all of her belongings. So that also, I'm like, oh, I like would love to have like a necklace of hers or something. But that, I will admit, has given me like a less materialistic view of life, because I'm like, oh, I can still like love her essence, and you know, without having some of her stuff.
And also, it's so much pressure to have like heirlooms,
right? Then you lose
if you get robbed, or it's like it's the only thing. You don't want unreplaceable things mm-hmm. in your life. For me, at least, I don't. I never want, like, I'm always like, oh, when I get something sentimental, I'm like, fuck.
I agree. The only thing that I don't own jewelry that has any real meaning to it. I don't get it. I try not to attach myself to objects too much.
Here, Kalila, come here.
You guys, not today. Hold on 1 second. This is exactly how it went down, you guys.
Can I try? Oh, that feels kind of good. It's cooling.
Imagine.
It was hot out there in the Philippines.
But she would wind it back. Like she would just be like, she would like lasso. So sad. So sad. Shout out to my mommy. I love her so much.
I know. I guess, yeah, if there were more like memories, maybe my dad, because my dad worked a lot. My dad and I bonded when I was 15. He graduated. He retired early, and I was getting my learner's permit, and that's when I stopped being a juvenile delinquent. Like the minute my dad was around,
really,
and I had time. I think I just needed adult attention that wasn't so bad. I needed less adult attention and more, if you know what I mean. But we would drive around. We would do so much fun stuff, my dad and I, and that was when things were good. So I think if I'd had that a little bit younger, that could have helped, because I definitely didn't feel safe as a kid. Mm. But I do think that made me like prepared for the world in a way that I wouldn't be if I had been.
But that's also protected. Kind of a sad thing to say, that mm-hmm. bad things have to happen to you for you to be a wise woman.
Yeah, but I also kind of do, like sometimes I do think, like when I think about all the lessons that I've learned, it's through like a pain.
See, because when I look at my teenager now, like Jules lives with us, she is so aware.
She's your niece.
She's my niece, yeah.
She's not your daughter.
Esther's jealous. She's like, if anyone's your daughter.
It's me. But she's so aware and so just, she just knows. She has had so much more guidance than I did. And mm-hmm. I don't think we don't need to be pained to learn.
Right.
And we just need to be told. And, you know, I never learned it the way she learned it. Yeah. And so she's just switched on when it comes to, you know, what her boundaries are with, right. like, you know, with her body and things like that. She just is way more switched on than I was.
Okay, so for that to work, though, she needs to have someone in her life that has learned those boundaries, however they learn them, to teach her. Like, my mom, I give my mom as much grace as I possibly can, because I think about, she just didn't have the life I had. So she didn't know. When she was, like, sending me off and all these, like, pretty much they could have been like suicide missions. It was like crazy. She just thought that.
Wait, you were part of the 9/11
regime? I mean, that would have had more of a goal and more thought and planning behind it. But there was always danger. But she didn't. She was. Her mother was very like overprotective to her. And my mom lived a very nice life where nothing like that happened to her. So. Mm-hmm. a lot of the things that she let me do that in retrospect, I look back and I go, why the fuck would she let me do, is because it was something that when she was a kid, she wasn't allowed to do. And she was looked at as like this thing that she missed out on.
It's been interesting for me living with Dave because he's so healthy. Like he is just, I have learned so much living with him because he is so, it's a healthy person. His childhood, his upbringing, parents, sister, everyone was just normal. Like mm-hmm. I know we think that that's not a thing, but I see it in him and it's pretty crazy.
And it's wonderful because it's like, that's how we describe George. Like we couldn't have more starkly different upbringings. But the reason that I have so much trust in him is because he has tools that I don't have.
Yeah.
Like he just has these, his bandwidth is endless. And it like amazes me how much he can do in one day without feeling stressed out, how he can handle like really high pressure situations and just be really chill and cool about it. Mm-hmm. And I don't have those tools like him. Like my bandwidth is this small.
Oh, when you see someone managing their emotions in front of you, you're like, what? This is amazing.
Yeah.
But I feel that way about Todd too. He's so securely attached. Like he's just so willing to, he lets things like roll off of him. Like nothing sticks on him.
Mm-hmm. I have anxious really attachment.
Good. Yeah,
anxious
no shit.
I'm like, where are you going? He's like, I'm just going to the bathroom. Stop asking me. What are you doing? You know what I do every night. I'm on my computer. Like I have to know everything.
I requested to have the bathroom door taken off the other day. I was like, I don't like when you're in there taking a shit without me.
Bobby is like a cat. Sometimes he just disappears, and when he wants affection, he has to come and tell you he wants it. You can't just give it to him because he'll be like, yeah, I don't want it, not now. But he has that same weird, he doesn't want to admit to it, but that same anxious attachment.
Yeah.
Anywhere I go, if I drive off somewhere to just live my life, where are you? When are you coming back, mama? All the time, all day long. And then when I come back home, I swear it's like, I think this is as close as I imagine this is what parents feel when they come home. Okay, I have a really bad henna experience, but I want to start off with Annie getting henna on her dick and how long she thinks it's gonna stay there.
I have always had this dream. You know when someone falls asleep first at a party? I know you've never partied. You fall asleep.
Have you ever been drawn on while asleep?
No, because everyone knows if you do that to Esther.
What happens, Esther? Tell us what the repercussions are.
A lot of trouble.
What kind of trouble?
Tattling, legal issues, litigation.
We should tell your ex-boyfriend to just draw on your face when you fall asleep so you leave him alone forever. He can finally get rid of you.
I mean, my friend John and I didn't talk for 6 months because he gave me a wet willy. That was like, I still can't believe he did it. Like, I just can't believe he did that.
What was that apology like? Did he have to say, oh, I'm sorry, I gave you a wet willy, like begrudgingly apologize?
No, it was 6 months of not speaking. And then it was like, okay, I guess like we miss each other. What is this henna tattoo?
I just have always thought, okay, so when you fall asleep early at a party and you haven't emotionally held everyone captive enough that they feel free to fuck with you a little bit, they draw dicks on your face. So I always thought it'd be funny to get to draw like a henna tattoo on someone's face of a dick because they last like 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
So I was asking my eyebrow woman who does henna.
We have
henna,
the same eyebrow lady, Aruna.
Aruna. Threading, she's incredible,
love her.
I asked her, I was like, how, and she was like, there's ways you might be able to get it off, but I think she is possibly down to come
so
paint
whoever
it.
Loses the next challenge gets henna dick on them.
I mean, Esther's not, let's be real, it's either we just have to find something I lose because I'm the only one that's willing to do this.
No, I'm willing.
You're willing? Okay.
But let me tell you,
I'll be the judge. How about that? You guys have to compete.
You'll never be the judge.
I'm the judge.
You're never the judge.
I've already been punished.
We'll never give you your dream job, the judge. You're a Simon Cowell.
I am?
I think you're a Simon Cowell. I'm a Randy. I'm a fucking Randy. Yeah, you're a Paula.
I'm Paula. All fucked up on drugs.
Will. What if we all commit to getting a henna on our face? I'm not getting a penis, but I'll get.
Well, let me
labia.
Tell you.
But do you think this is if you get a labia on your cheek, I'll be so happy.
But it's just like a tiny little rosebud.
Maybe I'll get like a little star or something.
Like right under your eye, like a fucking.
A little star of David. Why don't you get numbers?
Oh, Annie! I can't believe you said that. I'm stumped. I'm fucking stumped.
Wait. I've already been punished. I've already gone through trial by henna before because I went to a Bollywood wedding. So this is what we were told. All the girls in the bridal party were like, we're all getting henna. And I was looking at all of their pictures and they're like, oh, it's amazing. And so I went to this lady in the corner. They had three ladies out. And this is the only lady with no one was going up to her. So I was like, oh, there's an empty stall there. I'm going to get it done by that lady. So I pulled up this picture. I was like, this is exactly what I want. This is right before the wedding. I'm going to be in my full, garb and look amazing the next day. And I flew all the way to New York with this amazing fucking Bollywood wedding. I said, give me that. And George, show him what she gave me.
Oh, they turned your hand into a corpse? Yeah.
Keep going, George. Show the finger one.
Yeah. What is that? That's really scary. Ah!
Oh my God.
There's no way that's what they did to you.
That's how long exactly. Did it last? 2 fucking weeks. I had to have fucking my. I just looked like
we
I
gotta
just,
fly that one.
You
out
look
to do
dead.
The
you look dead.
It looked like I had just like just did this to just a pile of shit.
I would take that hand over Esther's current hands.
you mean a hand model hands? Okay.
She's really let herself go.
Those hands nails. Look like what I should look like when people are having sex with me.
You just dig into someone's
drag
butt.
Her in.
So we're going to do that then. That's okay, a deal. Fine. Let's shake on it.
Okay.
Henna tattoo on the face. Annie has to get a large penis.
Okay, large how about this, Esther? Would you settle for just a really large mole?
No.
Yeah, can we get hair coming out of the mole? Henna on?
I'll try to think of something somewhat embarrassing.
All right. Well, thanks for watching Bloodbath, guys.
I have a clothing line, sleepoverbyester.com. It might be out by the time this episode comes out if people want to look at it.
Can you be a little more excited about your own product? I mean, this is your like a sleep.
But
yeah, she's like, don't sleep on Sleepover by Esther. Emphasis on the sleep. Go out and get yours soon.
Sleepoverbyester.com.
Welcome to Sleepover by Esther.com.
Handmade luxury loungewear.
You may have seen it on Esther's body nonstop for the past 6 months. But this is a surprising new one. They're going to be so good. I have tried them on. They're very comfortable. You guys are going to fucking love them.
Thank you, sweet Annie. You guys, thank you for listening to this show. Look, is it traumatizing? Yeah. Are we fucked up? Yes. Are they more fucked up than me? Yeah. But please like this video, subscribe, comment, definitely make sure you subscribe because I know some of you haven't subscribed yet and we need you to.
And we need you to go over to iTunes and leave us some reviews and some stars. And
we need to hear from you if you want us to keep doing this show. That's a threat.
It's a threat from a little handed girl. She's going to come at you with her little hands.
We love you guys.
You guys, thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Thank you. Follow us on Instagram.